What does Kali Yuga mean?
That is the first sign that it is Kali Yuga.
Doesn't Kali mean death?
We are at the end of Kali Yuga. So what is your sign, you think, that it is Kali Yuga? What is your sign?
If we live in a supportive time of history, then the things that are good for us, Prashant, who was my first meditation teacher, he used to say there's the three things, three states: sad, bad, or mad.
And especially it's a sign of end of Kali Yuga, right? These are signs of end of Kali Yuga. Another sign of end of Kali Yuga, I feel, is this, it's so normalized.
Do you look at the world, watch the news, and think, what the hell is going on here? Right, so many strange things happening, so many news stories about stuff that you think, why is this happening? How is this even happening? Why do people think this way? Why do they do these stupid things? Why are there all these wars? Why are people so depressed? Like, what is wrong with the world? What's wrong with people? What's wrong with society? So welcome to Spiritual Sense. We're going to dive into the age within which we live and ask the question, are we in fact living in hell? Hello, Shireen. It's a cheerful topic today.
We can make it cheerful. Hello, Michael. Yay. Always a pleasure being here with you.
So, Shireen, what is going on in the world today? What age are we in? Like, why is the world in such a bad state? Like, what is really going on here?
So, in the Brahma Kumari's understanding of things, which you also know, is that we have four ages. Actually, we have five ages. We'll get to the fifth age in a bit. But we have four ages, the big ones, the four ones, and that is the golden age, where humanity is beautiful and lovely and harmonious and peaceful and pure and all of that. It's the whole of humanity is the golden age. And then we have the silver age, where it's a reflection of the golden age, and humanity is doing good. It's a reflection of the golden age. It is still wonderful, harmonious, and beautiful. And then we have the copper age, where humanity is in a down. So if you think of the seasons, right, it's like spring would be the golden age, summer would be the silver age, and fall, where really humanity comes into a lot of the vices, but you don't see the effect of the vices in the copper age. And then the last age is the iron age, where it's like winter, where everything is the darkest time of the whole cycle, that we are in cycles, like for us, time is a cycle, and we are in a cycle, and it's the darkest time right now. And so this is Kali Yuga, or the Iron Age. So Kali Yuga means the age of darkness, the age of strife, the age where everyone are spiritual orphans, where they don't have a sense of belonging, they don't have a sense of who they are, they don't understand values, and their worldview is very skewed. So we are in Kali Yuga.
What does Kali Yuga mean?
That's what it means.
Most people don't know what it means. What's it literally mean?
It literally means the age of darkness. The age of darkness, the age of strife. That's what it means.
Doesn't Kali mean death? Kali?
Yes. Yes, death. But also Kali is the age is named after Kali, the goddess Kali. Mm-hmm. And she's the goddess of death. But usually that's what it means, the age of darkness.
So how do we
know where we're at? Go back to this death thing, right? That is like the first sign that it is Kali Yuga, is where there is untimely death. Everywhere there's untimely death. Even though people say, oh, our lifespans have increased in the last few decades, and, you know, so much progress has happened with medicine and things like that, but Kali Yuga has been going on for a few hundred years. And so overall, there is untimely death. Like, there'll be suddenly a tsunami and there'll be 200,000 people wiped out, or suddenly an earthquake, or suddenly, you know, people, have accidents and things like that. So there's untimely death, or even untimely endings of everything, untimely endings of relationships. There's just untimely endings, like unexpected. You don't expect things, and then it just ends.
Mm. So you don't know quite what's going to happen. All of a sudden, some unusual thing occurs. People often have what they call ghosting, you know, in relationships, where someone is their friend and blah, 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 and then they get ghosted and they just, like, don't reply to any of their messages and just completely, like, what? And that leaves people thinking, what happened? Like, what did I do and why did it happen? And so that's a contemporary death, you know, because if you stop talking to someone and they never reply to you, it's like they've died.
Right, right. You know, what I mean by untimely death, when I first moved to Florida, I was in college and then I got a job and I moved to Florida. And one of my cousins who was born and raised here in the US came to visit me. And we were the same age, and he was going into medical school. He just started his medical school. And he came to visit me. We had a great time. And I was living alone at that time, and I didn't, you know, we had those old answering machines. Mm-hmm. So I asked him to record a message for me on my machine so people who call will know that there's, you know, a guy living here and all of that. I was living alone. Anyway, mm-hmm. we had a great time. And then he went back to Iowa. He was going to medical school in Iowa. And a couple of days later, I got a call from his mother that he died. It was his first day of medical school, and he was trying to find his way to this college, right, medical college, wherever school he was going to. And he pulled on the side of the road. He opened a map to see where he was going, because at that time there were maps. There was no GPS, and a truck came and hit him. He was pulled on the side of the road, and a truck came and hit him and instantly died.
Wow.
And so that's what it is, right? Like, a few days before, when we were going around to the beaches, having fun, I didn't think he would not be there. But that happened, because it's Kali Yuga. The death is untimely death. Even though lifespans have increased, even though all of those things have increased, unexpected things happen all the time in Kali Yuga. That is the first sign that it is Kali Yuga. After 30 years, I'm okay with this, but I really was very shaken at that time by his death.
Yeah, that's shocking. I had a friend who used to live with me and work with me, and she went kayaking in the ocean. A big wave came and she got knocked out of the kayak, and she went onto the rocks, which is a bad idea. And then a big wave came and killed her. And that was just, and she was like maybe 33 or so, 34 years old. And she was just having the time of her life in Hawaii and enjoying herself. And then it's all finished, just like that.
Right, right. I'm not saying that it happens to everyone. I'm not saying that. But it is the age of untimely death. It's like common. Like, everyone you speak to will have a story like this, right? Like, you know, children are still born, this and that. That is the age of Kali Yuga. And it has been going on for a few hundred years. It's not just in the last 50 years, 60 years. This Kali Yuga has been going on for a few hundred years. And 1,250 years to be precise. And now we are at the end of Kali Yuga. So what is your sign, you think, that it is Kali Yuga? What is your sign?
You know, one of the things that I've thought about quite a lot is that if we live in a supportive time of history, then the things that are good for us to do and to get access to will be readily available. To me, like, that's a sign. If I'm living in a time of happiness and joy and success, then the things that will lead to that and sustain that will be easy to get my hands on and to do, right? Whereas in this world, it is extremely easy to get our hands on all sorts of terrible things, right? Think about all the weird products and foods. If you go to a store, and this is just classic, you go to a health food store, right? Like Whole Foods, and most of it is unhealthy food, if you really think about it, right? There's massive amounts of alcohol you can buy. There's all sorts of processed foods that aren't good for you. There is a produce section, fair enough, right? And some of the produce is good stuff. But there is an enormous amount of stuff that isn't very healthy that you can get your hands on in a health food store, right? And that's a health food store. You go to a regular supermarket and there's cakes and cakes and cakes and cakes and more cakes and then extra cakes. And anything that's bad for us, we can get our hands on very, very quickly.
Yeah, the cake cell phone seems to be very mild though, right, Michael?
Relative to other things.
Relative to drugs and alcohol.
Well, it can cause people terrible pain. You know, like if you go up to the Native American reservations and go to the store there, which I've done on many times, you see the effect of too much cake, you know.
I would rather take cake over drugs, like crack cocaine. I would think cake is better.
I'm not saying no one should eat any cake, but if someone eats primarily cake, then they're going to have to see the doctor rather frequently. But the cell phone has all sorts of bad things on it. And then, of course, there are, you know, alcohol, drugs, pharmaceutical drugs that people don't necessarily need, that they're taking too much of or being prescribed in massive amounts. So things that are addictive, like even the food, let's talk about the food. There is food in the health food stores and regular stores that has been scientifically designed, like potato chips and these different types of things. They have scientists
who work on that stuff. And
I like potato chips, but I don't buy them very much because I eat the whole pack in one go. And why do we eat the whole pack? Why is it so hard to stop? Because they have scientists who've gone in there and figured out exactly the right amount of oils and fats and sugars and different things, and they've created stuff that you can't stop eating. They're designed that way. And McDonald's and all these things. So you've got a situation where there is highly, highly addictive foods, entertainment, drugs, alcohol, and all sorts of things that you can get your hands on almost instantly. Instant gratification of super powerful stuff. And then the things that are good for us are harder to get our hands on and aren't promoted. Think about how much money is spent on promoting products that are bad for us compared to how much money is spent on promoting things that are good for us.
Right.
The contrast. So that's a very, very solid and definite sign of hell, where what is promoted is bad for our health, our well-being, our joy, our happiness. And doing the right thing is becoming harder and harder and harder. And in some countries, like, they can't even live their life and do their work without being involved in some sort of bribery and corruption, which is another scale, right?
right.
On top of that.
It reminds me, though, that another sign, like you're saying, you know, what is bad for you is easily available. That's a sign of Kali Yuga. And especially it's a sign of end of Kali Yuga, right? These are signs of end of Kali Yuga. Another sign of end of Kali Yuga, I feel, is this... it's so normalized. Drugs and alcohol is so normalized. I have a friend who has several pizza parlors, pizza places, and he was telling me that it's normal now. It's normal these days for all of his staff to come totally stoned.
Really?
It's just normal. And it's just, that is normal. Like, and he was saying when he was growing up and he was working, that was not normal, right? I mean, did you go to work like that?
No. I used to smoke weed, but you couldn't get away with it. You wouldn't even think that was a good idea. You know, that's, but then again, they're in a pizza place, so they're having the munchies and have lots of pizza to eat. So.
Right. No, but he was saying that it's so normal. Like, this is the normal thing, right? And then if anyone gets stressed, he says, oh, just go get your hit and come back. I'm like,
what? She tells him to do it.
That's just normal. And that's so funny. It's normalized. It's, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I really don't have a political position on whether it should be legalized or not legalized. At least for medical reasons, it should be legalized for something my friend went through in her end-stage cancer. I'm not saying all of those things. All I'm saying is the end of Kali Yuga is alcohol is normal, drugs are normal, and people are nuts. Like, this is how people are driving. So how are they getting to work? They're driving. They're on the roads, totally out of it, right? Their faculties are not functioning. So they're not just harmful for them, but they're harming other people on the road.
That's right. I mean, I actually read a study that showed that when someone, aside from drugs, right, but when someone is distracted, so let's say someone's trying to work, right, and then the cell phone goes off and they focus on this, right, and then they focus back on what they're doing, and then they focus on this and they focus on back on what they're doing. That split tasking, which is another sign of how Kali Yuga, right, is people can't concentrate. Then their attention's jumping all over the place. When someone does that, they've studied this, they're twice as bad at doing tasks than if they were stoned. So what they've said is that you're better off smoking weed and doing your work than multitasking and doing your work. Isn't that right? Or driving. Like, driving the car and checking the phone is far more dangerous than being stoned driving the car.
But they shouldn't be doing either.
I'm not saying this isn't like either or, but the point is that Kali Yuga, it's like one thing is being stoned driving the car. Another thing is someone's got this, and that's going to kill loads of people. So the fact that people can't pay attention to what they're doing because of these things is a, this is another addiction. This is a sign of Kali Yuga right here. So the fact that everyone's constantly looking at, they can't pay attention to the present moment. And
like they have 3 seconds, the attention span of a gnat. That's what is Kali Yuga, right? Signs of Kali Yuga.
Yeah.
But okay, when you were saying that, I was thinking another sign of Kali Yuga is everyone is stressed. That's the default mode. Everyone is stressed. They're so upset. They're so angry all the time. Like, you know, we have some construction going on in the center and the crew comes and they're so angry. Like,
really?
Like I call them, right? It's like starts off angry. Like, I told you this is what I'm thinking. I'm just asking a question. Why this anger, right? And I mean, they just like cuss out all the time. They're constantly angry. And
wow.
So, and if they're not angry, I've noticed people are constantly stressed. And so
one
that is
other.
One or the other, right? It's gosh. So bad that in Florida, I've heard several instances where people cut them off and they got shot at. You're driving down the road, you don't even know you're cutting someone off. You're thinking of something else, you're driving strangely. It's not
checking
like you're
your
driving
phone.
Thinking.
You're just looking at your phone, getting back to messages.
I'm
just
going to cut that guy off.
Smoking
you're not driving like that. Right? You're just driving and thinking, oh, I need to get there. So you go there. Oh, and before you know it, the gunshot's going off.
Gosh.
Because it's people are so stressed. People are so stressed all the time.
That's right. I remember Prashant, who was my first meditation teacher, he used to say there's three states, sad, bad, or mad.
Right, that sums up Kali Yuga, sad, bad, and mad.
Kali Yuga. Yeah, so it's one or the other. So either we become depressed and sad and down and miserable, or we become bad and we do stupid, bad things and hurt people, or we go mad with mental health conditions. And that it's like, which one do we have? Or is it a combination? You know, that's Kali Yuga right there.
It's like the primary colors of Kali Yuga, sad,
yeah,
bad, and
the
mad.
Primary sad, bad, and mad, exactly. And possibly all of them at the same time. What a mess. And, you know, we see that things are just in such a bad place that it's normal to be on medication. Like, nearly everyone in America is on some sort of medication. And if we're honest, and if people are honest, they probably don't really need all the medication that they're on. But it's being prescribed in such massive amounts that sedatives, you know, to try and there's, I've done a lot of research about this. The antidepressants, there's massive studies on this that they actually don't work, and they only work for a short, small number of people for about 3 months. If you, anyone's interested in this, there's a book called The Emperor's New Drugs, and it literally goes through the entire body of studies right from the beginning all the way up to the present time, and all of it, right? And all of the and the conclusion is that basically it's not doing any good at all, and it's a placebo if it does anything.
Michael, though, right?
Yeah.
If people feel they need it, we shouldn't tell them they don't.
No, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but the point is that it actually doesn't work, but there are things that do work. There are things that do work that people can do that will
actually
make them feel
better. But maybe the placebo, it's working for them.
If it, yeah.
I just have compassion. I mean, okay, it's not the best idea, but if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do.
Well, the point I'm trying to make here is that if something is clinically proven to not work and it has side effects, then that's another sign of Carl Jung. That if someone's being prescribed something that has proven not to work and it causes them harm, and they given it by their doctor, and the doctor knows from the studies it doesn't actually work, and they're having side effects, then what can you say about that, really? And then what's the cause of the depression in the first place? You know, it's because of Carl Jung. You know, it's because of the...
Sad, bad, and mad.
Sad, bad, and mad, yeah. The body is in a bad way, and then the society makes people depressed, and the food makes them depressed, and so everything's just, you know, conspiring to make us sad, bad, and mad.
Right, right. You know, which reminds me of another sign of Kali Yuga, end-stage Kali Yuga. This is total end-stage Kali Yuga, is there's no mercy.
Mm-hmm.
People don't have genuine compassion. Always, for profit, people are willing to do anything, right? The drug companies know. For the opioid crisis in the United States, the drug companies knew those opioids were they were highly addictive, that they were causing harm. There were all of these studies, right? The opioid companies knew this. The companies, the pharmaceutical companies knew this. And they still prescribed, the doctors still prescribed, and guess how many people have died in the last few years of opioid overdose? About 600,000. I always tell people, if a country came and invaded, right? If a country came and invaded the United States and killed 600,000 United States citizens, what would happen? Every single department in the US would fight that enemy. Everything would be on ready alert to fight that enemy. Here, the drug companies are doing this to people and no one's fighting, no one's saying anything. It's like, this, because of opioids, right? It's not just the opioid crisis and they are overdosing, but because of that, the suicide rate has gone up. Because of that, so many things have gone up. So the additional fallout of that is so much, so much. And so I feel that is another end-stage Kali Yuga sign, is that people have no mercy. For profit, they will do anything. They have no mercy for animals. People eat animals. And, you know, oh, but nothing happens. You know, I remember one of my bosses telling me when I was working, oh, you're assigning your feelings to animals. No, they have feelings. Right? Feelings. Huh?
Anyone who's pet a cat or a dog, I mean, obviously the dog wags his tail and is also happy, and the cat purrs, and, you know, and if they hurt themselves, they limp around and they make... I don't understand how anyone could say that animals don't have feelings. I really don't.
Yeah, I used to find such cognitive dissonance, right, around my colleagues. What used to happen is we used to be eating. I stopped eating with them because they used to bring out their meat and they just used to drive me crazy. No, just the smell, not that they were eating. I was fine with whatever their choices were, their choices. But the smell and all, I couldn't take it anymore. But there were times when I used to eat with them and they used to tell me stories of how much they loved their dog while eating meat. And I'm like, are you serious? I mean, is there this, what is this? Like, yeah. Why does a dog have primacy over what you're eating? Why do you feel that what you're eating, the animal you're eating, doesn't have any feelings and the dog has feelings? Why is this? But this is it, right? There's no mercy. There's no compassion. They're just people for profit. They're willing to do anything, kill 500, 600,000 Americans. No worries, no saying anything. You know, two planes hit the Twin Towers. 3,000, 4,000 people died. I was recently there at the Freedom Tower. It's beautiful, by the way, in New York City, where the Twin Towers were, the museum. Mm-hmm. And you went to war and killed so many people on the other side. Okay, never mind all of those things. But so many Americans have died because of the opioid crisis. And no one, there's no war. Is there a war against opioids? No.
No.
That is because profit is more important. Profit is more important. So what this pharmaceutical family does is to make it okay for them. They will just donate a wing in the Metropolitan Museum of Art or give a huge sum of donation to Harvard University or something like that, and everything is okay. No one talks about it.
This will probably be flagged on YouTube because we are mentioning pharmaceutical companies or something, you know, because this is like the stuff you're not allowed to talk about. I mean, COVID or all these shady things that have happened on a number of levels because of these companies, no one really, they're not held accountable, and they have such a profound effect on the lives of so many people. And people become heroin addicts, don't they? Because they cut off they get the drugs legally, and then they get addicted to them because they're highly addictive, because they're opiates. And then they can't get them, and then they turn to heroin, and then heroin's illegal, so it's not standardized. And then they get, what's the fentanyl? Then fentanyl, it's just knocking out people left, right, and center because it's so powerful.
Yes, and also because of fentanyl, it's the impurities in it is knocking out mm-hmm. people, I heard.
Yeah, it's so
wow,
potent.
That's really bad. Because it's
who's making this stuff, you know. But let's look at the, like, what's the reason that people take this stuff in the first place, you know. One is they go to get dental work and they get prescribed it for that, But why are so many people so upset that they need so many drugs? That's another sign of Kalyug, that the population feels so unhappy that the best solution available is dangerous drugs that might kill them. I mean, that's a pretty bad place to be, isn't it, as a society?
Right. One thing, though, if the previous segment does get cut off, I don't want to miss this part. is that ensign Kalyug is lack of mercy and lack of compassion for mm-hmm. not only people, for animals, for people, for everything. Lack of compassion. People are just absorbed in their own lives. They don't care about anything else. Oh, it tastes good, so I'll eat it. Or this happens, so I'll do this. And that is end stage Kalyug. And I feel that what happens is when we think about it, right? When you think about it, like when my colleagues were eating a steak and talking to me about how much they love their dog, they're not really thinking about it. They're not thinking about what they're eating and then what they're talking. And so that kind of disconnect is really a sign of hell.
Compartmentalizing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cognitive dissonance, yeah. Lack of insight, lack of thinking clearly about the consequences of things and how it connects to other things. The fact that this is so fast-paced, like these cell phones, right, they have sped everything up, haven't they? Because you can get back and forth with all these things and all this information and everything's so fast. That, and there's so much information. I think this is another sign of Kalyug, is the massive amount of information. It's just way over the top, isn't it? Like it's insane amounts of information available, more than we can handle. When we're meant to focus on one thing at a time, calmly and gently, and the thing that we focus on is ideally something of value, right? So we're designed for focusing on high-level things that are valuable and useful for as long as we need to, with a sense of ease and grace, right? That's a natural thing to do. Whereas Kalyug, we are focused on stupid nonsense most of the time, because most of this is entertainment and silly stuff that we don't need to know about. So stupid nonsense, and then jumping back and forth between various kinds of stupid nonsense at a very fast rate, which is then causing injuries to our attention and our well-being, which then leads to a sense of stress and panic, which then leads to a need for drugs and distraction, which then causes more need for drug and distraction, which causes more... So it's like a vicious cycle that goes round and round and round and round. And welcome to hell.
I was thinking when you were saying that another sign is like about lack of focus. Even simple spiritual concepts are really hard for people to assimilate. They might know it, they might think, oh, because recently I was talking about to one of my friends, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And like, I know, right? They know it, but how much of that am I really assimilating and implementing in my life? So theoretically, we might know some concepts, but really, end stage Kalyug is even simple spiritual concepts we are not able to focus on. We're just not able to focus on those. Because if you realize... And if you really realize that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, then we are beyond these labels, then we are beyond, then there's so much beauty and love and bliss and peace and wisdom that comes with that realization and that experience that we are not able to tap into it. Like little simple spiritual concepts also are very hard to tap into.
That's right. I mean, it's one thing knowing about something, and it's something else to have the experience.
Right.
And right. I mean, that's a sign of Kalyug, isn't it? This the spiritual ego about knowing things and reading books and having all this wonderful mental concepts that don't get used in life. Even like the news, right? I mean, I admit I do look at the news now and then, but why do I need to know about every single thing all the time, all day long? How in what way is that helping me or anyone else? But in Kalyug, having information about random stuff is somehow like a national pastime, isn't it? Having random information about random things is a national pastime, and then complaining about stuff that you can't change is another one, you know. So it's these are all the signs of Kalyug. And the reason we're sharing all this, by the way, is because once you know these things, then you can get a better gauge of how to manage all of this stuff and how you can live your life knowing what kind of conditions you're in. Just like if you're driving down the road and it starts to snow, you need to understand the conditions and then drive differently, because otherwise you're going to hurt yourself. So we're going through the world and we're living in hell. And so when you realize, hang on a minute, this is essentially Kalyuga, this is a hellish reality. It might be pleasant. I mean, I've lived in the most beautiful places in the world in many ways. Kauai is such a beautiful place, and Sedona is beautiful, and then Florida is, you know, beautiful as well. And there's a lot of nice places around. But even still, it's hell.
The place doesn't decide whether you're bad, mad, or sad. You could be bad, mad, and sad in beautiful places.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'd think. I remember when I went back to Kauai a couple of years ago. I came on the plane, and I arrived, and there were all these tourists on the plane. I used to live there, and I remember going to my mother's house, and she has a meditation every week, and it happened to be like that exact time. So these people showed up for meditation, and she said, "Would you like to lead the meditation?" I said, "Sure." And so they all came in, and I noticed that everyone, I thought, this is so great. Here I am in Hawaii. It's beautiful. There's all this wonderful nature and ocean and everything. So these people showed up, and the whole first 15, 20 minutes was complaining about random stuff on the mainland, actually. So this is a sign of Kali Yuga, that even if someone is in a beautiful place, there's a reason to not be happy because of something that isn't good somewhere else. Isn't that interesting? So even if someone has a wonderful life and everything's good, chances are this thing here is going to tell them bad stuff which makes them unhappy in the now. So even if we have everything we need and we're in a beautiful place and we have loads of money and everything else, chances are we're still depressed.
But you know the reason also why we need to be aware of the season, right? Like I said, the golden age would be spring, the silver age is summer, the copper age is fall, and the iron age, or Kaliyuga. Kaliyuga is winter. So you prepare for winter a certain way. You bring out your cold, you know, your warm clothes and all of those things, and you prepare for it differently. So if you're up north, you make sure you have enough firewood, you do all of those things. And so in Kali Yuga, if we understand that this whole system is Kali Yuga, that it is hell, then you can live your life in a way that you don't feel the effects of hell. You have to go against what the prevailing norm is. For example, with your food, you have to eat properly. You have to eat sattvic food because the food you eat affects your mind. And if you eat Kali Yuga foods like meat and all of those things, then it affects your mind very differently. If you eat sattvic food, then your mind is more peaceful. It's not so stressed out. And so you have to live your life in a way that the effects of Kali Yuga are not felt. Just like if you go out in the snow, you're going to be dressed properly. Otherwise, you're going to get frostbitten or, you know, you'll get cold. And so to live in Kali Yuga, you have to eat properly. You have to pick up a wisdom practice. You have to pick up a meditation practice. You have to surround yourself with the right company. You know, don't, you know, be surrounded by people who are in the tamas stage where they're lazy, doing drugs, all of these things. And, or, you know, people who are complaining all the time, they're not grateful. And so all of these things, right, you have to have all of these things in place so you can mitigate the effects of Kali Yuga on your life. If you don't do all of these things, then you feel Kali Yuga even more. There is a way out of Kali Yuga. Is you have to learn to live a sattvic lifestyle. You have to learn to live a pure higher consciousness lifestyle.
Yeah, we have to be very aware of where we're at so we can change the effects. Otherwise, we're just absorbing all of this toxic stuff. And it comes from other people, just random, you know, conversations. It comes from the cell phone. The internet is a big, big part of Kali Yuga nowadays. It has obviously benefits as well. I mean, we're doing this podcast and we hope it helps people. But either side of this video is probably a lot of bizarre things, right? And podcasts, because it's sitting within a context of Kalyug. And then the food and the drink and the nature, everything, or the clothes we wear, whatever it is, every single thing has some sort of effect on us, doesn't it? And then, of course, our thoughts, you know.
Absolutely. But also, you know, there is a good news. So you have spring, golden age, Satyuga, summer, silver age, Treta Yuga, fall, Dwapar Yuga, and then winter, which is Kalyuga. And in any given year, right, in any given year, any time, right after winter, what comes? Spring comes. Is there ever a year in the millions of years that we've had? Is there ever a year where after spring, after winter, spring did not come? Spring will come. That's a guarantee. The golden age will come. That's a guarantee. So we have to prepare for the golden age. So in the Brahma Kumaris, we have a short age that is the confluence of Kalyuga and the golden age, where we prepare ourselves to live in the golden age. Because you can't just go to the golden age, right? If you're just angry and upset and all of that and go to the golden age, you'll destroy the golden age in 2 seconds. And so you have to be able to go to the golden age and live there and sustain the golden age with your thoughts, with your actions, everything. And so there is a short age called the confluence age, which happens at the intersection of Kalyuga and Satyuga. It's the confluence of both these, the golden age, the iron age and the golden age. And in that confluence age, you can become spiritually minded, connect with God, really purify yourself and learn to live in harmony with everything and bring about the golden age, because it's coming. That's a guarantee. It's going to be here.
What a wonder. So we can do a whole session just on the confluence age. This is, so the people listening to this, you know, there's a good news is that there's ascension happening. So on one hand, things are going down, down, down. But on the other hand, things are going up, up, up. And it's up to us to come into that spiritual age, the ascension age, the diamond age, the age of upliftment, where we come out of Kalyuga, where we consciously design our life and our thoughts and our experience so that we can be pulled up through yoga, through union, through divine remembrance and spiritual awareness and practicing all these things. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we can get out of hell.
Yes, we can prepare, we can live in hell and not see the effects of it also. We just have to live a higher conscious life. And also the thing that I feel that is so important about a higher conscious life is the company you keep. Be very, very careful that we keep the right company. What do you say, Michael?
That's no doubt the biggest of all influences, because whatever we do has an effect on others, and whatever others do has an effect on us. Like, for example, if you want to do meditation, then spend time with people who do meditation, because you'll naturally want to do it because they're doing it. If you want to run, go running, then start hanging out with runners. If you want to set up a business, then start hanging out with business people who actually have a business. It's because we are affected through osmosis, through the vibrations of other people. If everyone eats loads and loads and loads of donuts, if I had a friend, I don't have one, but if I had a friend who always loves donuts, has the best donuts, has tons of donuts, what's the chances of me eating a donut at some point, right? It's almost inevitable I'm going to start having donuts just because, like, look at this one. Look, it's covered in all this special stuff, you know. But I'm saying, like, too many donuts can cause issues, right? If someone has done donuts all the time. So, or whatever it is, right? It could be drugs, alcohol, if I hang out with crack cocaine users, which I don't, by the way, but that is not going to be the ideal company to be around, right? So the company we keep has, basically, we're only allowed to do on some level energetically. We limit ourselves of what we can do and what we can't do by the people we hang out with, because there's a group construct of what's acceptable behavior and what's unacceptable behavior in various groups. So if we want to change our life, we want to consciously put ourselves around a group of people or various individuals who have values and a system of living that is aligned with what we want, and avoid the other stuff.
So, blessing, or you want to add anything else?
The last thing I want to mention is that if you're wondering why everything seems a bit odd, that you try and do something good and something weird comes of it, and you try and do something else to try and deal with that and something weird happens, it's because of Carl Jung. This is something I've wondered a lot. Like, if you want to eat well, which is good, then that's something you can do, but that takes a lot of energy, which then takes energy away from something else, which is a problem, right? But if you don't eat well, then that has certain side effects. And if you do, one thing, it has a negative effect on something else. And this is one of the strange signs of being in hell, is that no matter what you do, you're wiggling around trying to compensate for things. So don't expect that everything's going to work out the way you want, and realize that in the confluence age, when you come into this higher awareness, this age of upliftment, then there really becomes benefit in everything we do. And even when things don't quite work out the way we want, we can find the hidden benefit in those things. So there we have it. These are things to consider. And now you know that you're living in Kali Yuga, you can take it with a pinch of salt and not get as upset as you might do otherwise.
Blessing?
Blessings, yay.
Blessing for Kali Yuga. Blessing for handling Kali Yuga. Mm. All right, pick a number between 1 and 108.
73
is peace. Oh. This is our blessing for handling Kali Yuga. You find solace in the calm flow of loving thoughts that course through your being. In peace, you've learned to listen to the voice of your wisdom. Your heart is tranquil and you're in harmony with yourself and all around you.
It's a soothing balm on the soul. So thank you, Shireen, for your wonderful wisdom and humor. And we look forward to connecting with everyone next time. And try to stay in peace as you go through this mad, mad world that we live in. Yay.
Om Shanti.